The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Hey, Chris, my husband and I really enjoy your show. Thanks for doing what you do.
Hi, Chris, I love the show.
You're just breaking rules all over the place.
Thank you very, very much for your sane reasoning and conversation.
We don't have a crisis of lawlessness. We don't have a crisis of crime. We don't have a crisis of violence. And that is a category that includes gun violence, but it also includes some pretty horrible stuff, like rape committed without a weapon, or like a stabbing.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Glad to be with you today, folks. Middle of the week. Welcome in. Telephone number 610-850-0990. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. As predicted, as the hurricane reaches Cat 4 status and approaches landfall in Florida, as predicted from the Daily Wire, media Democrats race to make hurricane all about DeSantis. I told you this was coming. The thing is, it hasn't made landfall yet. So what does this mean? Democrats are actively cheering and hoping for destruction. Why? So they can take out the most popular communicator going today next to Donald Trump in the Republican Party, Ron DeSantis. They are hoping. You know, I said yesterday that Democrats have high-value property in Florida. Some Democrats live in Florida. Nancy Pelosi's chosen to relocate to Florida eventually. And that because they have property there, too, they care about straight news. They care about the possible destruction of their stuff. I might have overstated that. I might actually have to rethink that a little bit. It may be because Democrats, I assume, still pay for property insurance. They may be willing to lose everything they own if it means taking out Ron DeSantis. I'm serious. I think Democrats might be willing to lose their homes, maybe even some loved ones. They're that crazy if it means taking out a political foe. From the Daily Wire, as Hurricane Ian barrels toward Florida, Democrats and members of media appearing almost giddy at the prospect of Ron DeSantis failing, although I don't know what evidence they have that he would or is. I'm hearing nothing but glowing reports about the way this is being handled. In fact, a friend of mine messaged yesterday, and he was rather irritated. I told you I have this friend who's actually moving south. He basically lives just a tick south of Tampa and is sort of in the direct path of this hurricane. So he packed up, he's calling it Operation Skedaddle. He packed up his home and he started moving south. I said, well, that's interesting, not north. He said, no. We actually think the storm's going to head a little north of us, so we're just going to head south. He started and headed to Naples. He got to Naples yesterday, and he said, Operation Skedaddle, Phase 2, now moving to Miami. He figures if it's good enough for Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that's good enough for him. So he's now heading all the way to Miami to wait out the storm. And it appears that's going to be smart. But he got irked yesterday. He said, who is this FEMA chick at the White House? I said, I don't know. I'm not watching. What do you mean? He goes, we're all watching this down here. She's standing up there giving a campaign speech from the White House podium. I said, I don't know. I'm not watching it. She says, I'm confident we have the right team in place. From Washington? Who is she? What is she talking about? No useful information whatsoever. Nothing of note, but just bragging before the fact about how buttoned up they are, how organized and ready they are. Now, she doesn't give anybody a plan. She doesn't actually list details. She doesn't explain anything. Sounds very much like Dr. Fauci and COVID, doesn't it? Government bureaucrats stepping to the White House podium saying, all is well. We've got things well in hand. Much like Pepe Le Pew and Grandpa and Jennifer Granholm and Pete Buttigieg. All of these masters of their domain in their respective categories, right? All of the Biden administration officials that have everything under control, whether it's the ports, whether it's oil prices, whether it's grocery prices, whether it's the markets, whether it's crime, Kamala Harris, the borders are. Don't you always feel better when these people in the Biden administration step to the podium and say, all is well, we've got it under control? I'm sure the people of Florida feel very relieved that the FEMA chick is at Biden's podium yesterday saying, we've got a plan, all is well. She doesn't detail it, apparently. She just says, all is well. Bragging before anything else is done. It's just a classic bureaucrat thing. Sounding professional, sounding confident, but giving no useful information. So Florida emergency management teams busy yesterday warning residents to batten down the hatches. If necessary, evacuate coastal areas ahead of the storm. Politico appearing to frame this hurricane as a test that would ultimately determine whether or not DeSantis deserved the level of notoriety he's achieved. Politico writing, quote, Governor Ron DeSantis spent his first term becoming one of the most influential Republicans in the country, but he still hasn't faced one of the toughest challenges a Florida leader can encounter, a hurricane. The reporter cited former FEMA administrator Craig Fugate, who put the handling of a potentially lethal event in stark political terms. Fail a response? Hard to get reelected, and your agenda stalls, Fugate said. Do it well, though, and it adds capital to your agenda. It sets you up for higher office. And that, folks, is what really scares the crap out of them. Because not only has he been rolling in making his state a destination for freedom over the last 2 years, if he manages, if he achieves to appear like he was a leader, a competent leader in a natural disaster, and, you know, you hope, although it doesn't look like it, you hope this storm isn't as wicked as they think it's going to be. But if it is, and he looks like they had everything in order, this is what they're worried about. Fugate, in that quote, just gave up the ghost. He'll be unstoppable. He'll be like this Cat 4 hurricane, but only in politics form. He's already made Florida a complete success, a destination for freedom-loving Americans all over the country. You know, they say at Mariners games, is it Mariner? No, who are it? Marlins?
Yeah, the Marlins.
Marlins. They say the Marlins are the second worst attended baseball team in the country right now. They can't get anybody to go except when they play who?
The Philadelphia Phillies.
Yes, but even more than that, the New York Mets.
Yeah.
They say when the New York Mets come to Miami, the place looks like a Mets game. It's Mets South. And in fact, it's gotten so desperate. They are now, I'm not making this up, they sent out an email blast to their fans. The attendance is so dismal. They sent out an email blast and said, hey, Mets fans, come on. We're playing the Braves. So why don't you Mets fans, I'm not making this up, the Marlins sent out an email blast to their fan base and said, come on, Mets fans, come cheer for your Marlins as we take on the Braves. That's how dire things are for them. My point in telling you that is, Florida is packed full of New Yorkers. And we know many Pennsylvanians, too, who regularly make the pilgrimage for the Phillies and whatnot, but a lot of people love Clearwater. I know I do. I didn't know anything about Clearwater until I went down to visit the Phillies during spring training. And I have to tell you, it's such a lovely place. My friend has become like the official, you know, ambassador of his community in Florida since he moved there from the Midwest. Periodically, he will text me pictures just, you know, from the beach in the morning. He goes, here's my view, waiting. You know, he's like, he calls me Red now. He's Andy Dufresne, and he calls me Red. He said, I'm just down here. Just, you know, dig for the can under the rock. I left you some cash under the rock. Get down here. He says, you're just missing out. You got to come down here where freedom-loving people live. You'll never experience anything like it. I said, you miss it where you came from. He left the Midwest. He said, not a day. Happiest I've ever been in my life. He said, it's just in a whole new world. And everybody you talk to that lives in Florida loves it. Northeasterners have migrated there en masse to save money because it's well run. The weather's great. They're left alone. The Northeast drove people the hell out big time during COVID. It just drove them out. And now you see the hellscape that is all of the crime, which we're going to get into in a little bit. Why wouldn't you want to go to a well-run, warm, low-tax state? Why wouldn't you? Ron DeSantis has made this destination where even Democrats are now fleeing. So a big storm is rolling in, and he's up for re-election. And I have to take back what I said yesterday. I think Democrats are actually cheering for this to be as destructive and Ron DeSantis to fail as hard as they can make it. Reporters in the White House briefing room even framed questions as though they were expecting challenges with regard to cooperation between the Biden administration and state officials in Florida. Curtis Houck tweeted, notice the media are laying the groundwork to attack DeSantis over Hurricane Ian. Question from the head of FEMA, from a McClatchy reporter. Can you describe the level of communications with state officials? Has there been anything unusual or any challenges with that? See what they're doing? Has the benevolent Joe Biden extended the federal government's hand of help to Ron DeSantis? And is he accepting it, or is he down there being difficult, trying to cowboy it and do it alone? Senator and former presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar, mommy dearest, appeared to suggest that electing Democrats in the approaching midterms would somehow help curb future hurricanes. Not a joke. Amy Klobuchar said this yesterday.
That's why we've got to win this midterm. We just did something about climate change for the first time in decades. That's why we've got to win this as that hurricane bears down on Florida. We got to win in the midterms. We understand that. But none of that has stopped us from deciding we're going to put our differences aside and get some things done.
Did I not tell you yesterday, these people, it hasn't even made landfall yet, and they're already trying to take credit or place blame. Their action would have stopped the hurricane. Republicans inaction. Ron DeSantis basically caused this hurricane to hit Florida, and they're cheering for it to be destructive. Amy Klobuchar is suggesting we could have stopped it if we'd been in control all along, and if you keep us in control, there will never be another hurricane. I fear that there are Americans that actually believe this stuff. Christina Pashaw, who is just a ninja of a communicator. She left DeSantis' official team. She's now part of his reelection campaign, quick to fire back, noting DeSantis has been on top of the state's preparation and response to the threatening hurricane from the very beginning. Florida has some of the world's best emergency management leadership and personnel, she tweeted. Governor DeSantis and his team are doing everything possible to ensure our state is prepared. Sorry to disappoint the liberal media activists who are constantly cheering for the destruction of Florida. It's exactly right. That is what they're doing. Look, there are people in this country who literally wish this storm would sever Florida right off the continent and set it adrift. They do. It's an old Bugs Bunny, I remember. It always stuck with me, the imagery. I can't remember exactly the context of the cartoon, but I remember there was a big map of the United States and somebody sawed off Florida, took a handsaw to it, like a hacksaw, and sawed off the Florida peninsula, and it went floating away. I can't remember the context of the cartoon, but I vividly remember that imagery as a kid. That's what they hope. They want it to go away. Another purple state lost that's no longer purple. It's solidly red, and DeSantis making it more so all the time. So they need this thing to be as deadly as possible, and they need DeSantis to fumble reaction, which is why you're going to get, as I said, be ready. Once this storm makes landfall and media can get their cameras in there, they're going to find it. It doesn't matter what happens. They're going to find it. Look at this kitten. Look at this lonely cat, this lonely dog. This whole dog pound is full of dogs that were left behind. Ron DeSantis didn't have an evacuation plan for the shelter animals or something. Something. Setting aside the disgusting framing and premise of the article, this is false, said Pashaw, addressing a guy called Dixon. Directly, Governor DeSantis did a briefing in Pinellas yesterday. He's getting ready for a briefing in Sarasota right now. Talking about his inactivity or his unwillingness to work with the White House. To Klobuchar, she said, Florida has experienced hurricanes throughout recorded history before Democrats and Republicans even existed. Good for her. But the party of science will never miss an opportunity to play politics with a national natural disaster, gross and shameless. Rachel Vindman, wife of Alexander Vindman, because of course, why wouldn't she inject herself in this story, used the hurricane to attack DeSantis, apparently for his vocal opposition to the grooming of elementary school students and the passage of Florida's parental rights and education law, which opponents falsely labeled as the Don't Say Gay law. She tweeted, we should use they, them pronouns for Hurricane Ian just to annoy DeSantis. Isn't that remarkable? After an hour of backlash for that tweet, Vindman apparently was trying to attempt damage control. I appreciate the danger of this storm, which only serves to underscore the point that electing leaders who only divert their attention away from destroying systems in order to score political points to emergencies isn't helpful when there's a true crisis. Destroying systems. You know, it's so interesting that she chooses that word. The movement to rescue children from these corrupt, failing, radical public schools. What's the motto? Corey DeAngelis uses it a lot. Fund what, not what? Fund what, not what? It's become a chant. Fund students, not
systems. Systems.
Not systems. Isn't it interesting that this Vindman chick uses that very word? That somehow this storm, because of its severity, requires leaders who what? Support systems. Systems. That's her specific word. This is the point. People like her, leftists like her, they want the systems empowered because the systems never fail. The systems don't need reform. Ron DeSantis is popular. Ron DeSantis is Florida as a destination because he is just the opposite. He's not a systems guy. Look, providing for the common defense is the chief role of the federal government. It is the chief role of any government. Provide for the common defense. That's what you expect. How's defense working out in most of our major American cities, Mrs. Vindman? I don't know where she lives. I expect somewhere in and around the Washington, D.C. area. How's the criminal element in Washington, D.C.? I know how things are looking in Philadelphia. I've got more on that coming up. How are things looking in Washington? Feeling safe? Feeling good? Do you know the number of people when I spent last weekend in Washington, D.C., number of people that said to me, be careful. It's just an assumption now. You travel to certain cities. Hey, look out. Hope you don't die while you're going out looking at monuments. Provide for the common defense. There's one thing our government that is the chief task of the people we elect to govern, and that is to make us safe. At a national level, it is to defend our borders. At a local level, it is to enforce laws. Protect people. Protect property. How's that working out? The chief task of the Democrats who are running everything is to provide for the common defense. How are they doing? We have wide open borders. We have lawlessness like we've never seen. And when a natural disaster happens, a woman like this shows up and has the temerity to say, well, you know what, if you weren't so busy attacking systems, Ron DeSantis is going to be completely buttoned up and ready to do whatever needs to be done. There's only so much you can do. I mean, at some point, you say he said, look, I can't unring the bell if you don't get the hell out of here. It's the same thing Chris Christie said during Superstorm Sandy. I mean, when you're a governor and a storm is rolling into your state, there's only so much you can say, get out. And if people don't get out and you say, I've told you 300 times, get out, I'm just warning you, after such and such a time, on such and such a day, ain't nobody going to be around to come help you. So if you don't listen to me and get out, I'm sorry, we've done our best. So it won't matter. There are always people who'd make the wrong decision in situations like this, and the media will go find them. I promise you, we will be treated. Just be ready. I don't want anybody upset about this. Be ready when the media starts bombarding you with stories of Mr. John Robinson of Naples, Florida, was left stranded in high water, reached nearly his attic, and a weeping guy talking about someone that he lost or all of his property lost or no one was there to help me. I called and called and no one would help. They will find the Floridian in strife. They will. They'll stop at nothing. They've got this storm is a gift to them. I told you yesterday they were going to try to make hay out of it, but they're actually cheering the destruction now. And I hadn't considered that that's how sadistic these people are, but they are. They'd rather lose everything, including human life, if it means defeating Ron DeSantis. So just know that it's coming, just like the hurricane itself. That's coming. We'll keep a sharp eye.
Now, more of Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer and 990theanswer.com.
Oh, my, what a mess. What a mess. What a mess. I look out over the headlines in Philadelphia today, and it's just disgusting. It's sad. It's desperate. I don't know. I run out of adjectives. Let me start with something positive. A couple of things to let you know about. October 19th at 7:30, Battleground Talkers Tour coming through town. The Fuge in Warminster, Bucks County. Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Sebastian Gorka. I'll be there too. It is a sold-out event, unfortunately, but you can win tickets at 990theanswer.com. And we thank our sponsors for making this big event happen. Job Creators Network, The Fuge in Warminster, Delaware Valley Sports Center, Hamilton Strategies Public Relations, King Shooter Supply out there in King of Prussia, Safe Money Radio, and Vidian Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. All fantastic sponsors of this sold-out event. It's going to be huge. Huge at The Fuge. Should have come up with that earlier. Could have been a shirt. I only wish we could have added a second level to The Fuge or something. But, you know, at some point we had a capacity that we just couldn't ignore. So if you didn't get tickets, we do have a couple reserved left, and we're going to be giving them away. So go to 990theanswer.com, and we're giving them away. You know, we also air college football here. I don't know if you knew that or not, but on Saturday nights, if you're around and you like a little college football action, Saturday night, Stanford Cardinals versus the Oregon Ducks. That's really late. 11 o'clock our time? Is that right? Good grief. You got to be some kind of nut if you're listening to football at 11 o'clock. I mean, go ahead, do it. But it's live at 11 our time? I guess if they're playing out west, sure. That makes sense.
Yeah, the Pac-12, man. I guess West Coast football was a lot more popular when USC was good. You know,
but anyway, just so you know, we air that here. So I don't know if you're having a hard time sleeping. Not to me. I don't know. 11 o'clock at night on a Saturday. I don't like college football when I'm wide awake in the middle of the day. But, you know, if that's your deal, then go for it. Sorry, I can't spin it. I'm just not a college. I never was a college sports fan, probably because I neither played nor had a team worth rooting for when I was in college. That's changed since, but anyway. All right, 610-850-0990. Well, let's start with this just unbelievable shocking, sad story. Fast Eddie, a product of Roxborough. You've called that home most of your life, haven't you?
Yep.
All your life?
So I was born in East Falls. Moved out of East Falls to Roxborough when I was 4.
So this is really kind of shocking, this story, on a personal level, because quite literally, Fast Eddie and I were talking yesterday during the show. His dad's a regular listener. And while he walks, he listens. Now, Fast Eddie, where does your dad walk while he listens?
Well, what would be the Roxborough High School football field, which is surrounded by a track. So we just call it simply the track.
So your dad walks the track where yesterday, for those of you that aren't aware of this story, a 14-year-old boy was killed, 4 other teens wounded in a shooting after a football scrimmage. This from the Inquirer. It's the 23rd shooting death of a child this year in Philadelphia. Just after 4:40, Roxborough High junior varsity football players left the field, headed to the locker room, when 4 shooters who'd been waiting in a car parked outside the field jumped out, shot a volley of bullets toward the group of boys. A 14-year-old boy was shot in the chest. He collapsed at the bottom of the stairs that led to the locker room. The boy was rushed by medics to Einstein Medical Center. He died just a short time later. He was a member of Roxborough's team. He attended Saul High School, a nearby magnet school that focuses on agriculture. All the shooting victims were Roxborough players. Another 14-year-old boy was shot in his left thigh. A 15-year-old was shot in the leg. A 17-year-old was also shot in the right arm and 3 times in his left leg. All were rushed to Einstein and Temple and were in stable condition last night. A 5th player suffered a graze wound but didn't require medical treatment. It remained unclear Tuesday night what could have led to the shooting, adding that there have been no other recent incidents involving players on these teams. It was also unclear how many shots were fired, but there were more than 70 evidence markers throughout the street, noting both shell casings and bullet fragments. Including the victims of Tuesday's shootings, 178 children have been shot in Philadelphia so far this year. 23 have died. There were 213 children shot in 2021, a year that ended in a record number of homicides. Dozens of people visited the popular athletic field Tuesday afternoon for the 3-way scrimmage between Roxborough, Northeast High, and Boys Latin Charter School. So you know this area well.
Yep. It's the entirety of my, almost my entirety of my social life, you know?
So what does this mean to you as a Philadelphian?
It's scary in that, Chris, you know how last year and in 2020 you said you've never been so close to the news. You've never lived the news quite like COVID with you, your family. I didn't hear about this from the news or Twitter or anything like that. I was working on a project with my dad at the time, and he got a phone call from someone he walks with at the track, and they said, you know, 4 people were just shot at the track. And it's like, no, like that couldn't have happened. And sure enough, I went to that Philly crime update, and there it was. They were reporting for 4 students, football player, Roxborough High students, shot at the track.
For people that aren't familiar with the neighborhood, you have always described it to me as sort of, yes, it's Philly, but it's not the Philly that so many people read when it comes to violence. And you've referenced traffic crime and annoying, you know, lawlessness in the streets, people driving like morons. But you'd always indicated to me that in terms of violent crime like this, it didn't spill into Roxborough, at least not that often.
Correct. It's always been very rare. I mean, people from the neighborhood know we all settle our disputes or did with our fists, you know?
I mean, look, I'm a suburbs guy. I mean, yeah. the minute I got to Philadelphia, I just instinctively went as far west as I could and still, you know, catch a SEPTA train. So, I mean, that was, you know, near Coatesville almost. I couldn't get farther west. So I didn't come up in Roxborough or anywhere near it. So you having done so, you always said to me that Roxborough was not, like when you hear about the violence of Philadelphia, it would be unfair to suggest that every single neighboring area around the city proper is awash in violence. That was not your experience in Roxborough.
Not my experience at all. It was very much, if you think of Philadelphia as, you know, a city of neighborhoods, it's a very like small town type community. You know everybody. You know your neighbors, your friends. Like you know everybody in the town. So for violent crime to happen, it would usually be squashed immediately. It's very, very rare in Roxborough.
Like growing up, let's call it 15, 20 years ago, just for frame of reference, for people that don't understand or know Philadelphia proper, what was considered the dangerous part of Philadelphia? Even though you technically live, you're in Roxborough, so you're basically Philadelphia, but what did everybody kind of understand was the, oh, don't go there because you could get shot part of Philadelphia 20 years ago?
North Philadelphia, for sure.
North?
Yes.
But pretty much contained there? Was there any other part of Philadelphia where you went, oh, don't go there? Everybody understood North was always bad, but what, West? A little bit, maybe? West Philadelphia?
West, for sure, but West had a bit of a West, it wasn't as bad as North. It is becoming now just as bad.
That's what I mean. Like, so the reason I ask that specific question is, I know Philadelphia lifers here did not consider the city lawlessness and dangerous to walk about in every direction. It was always kind of contained to a every city always had the wrong side of the tracks. There's not a city in the country that hasn't always had that's where you don't want to be there after this, you know. Every city had that. The problem is Philadelphia writ large is now becoming you don't want to be there after. It's not even after nightfall anymore. It's broad daylight. 4:40 in the afternoon, shots open fire at a high school football game in Roxborough. So that leads me to the question, if you're a lifelong Philadelphian, is there a Roxborough anymore? Meaning, is there this is a great part of town. You don't have to worry about that stuff you hear about coming here. That's what you used to kind of confidently say about Roxborough. You can't say that anymore, I guess.
No, and the popular, Main Street Manayunk for 20-somethings is, we're talking blocks away from where this happened. Like, this is a spot where people gather. This is a social spot.
Here's what's amazing. I don't know, a few hours before this shooting happens at the high school, the nearby Wawa announces, we're closing our doors operationally between the hours of, is it 2:30 and 3:30 now?
Yeah.
We're just locking our doors. It's taped signs in the window. And I would love, someday I feel like, I mean, look, I don't want to pick on them. You know, they're good corporate citizens and, you know, they didn't do anything wrong. This isn't their fault. But at some point you need somebody to kind of step up that has a voice. And the people that run Wawa, all due respect, really need to start defining what's going on here. They need to explain why they're taking the actions they're taking. We have chronicled. Wawa is the canary in the coal mine, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to Philadelphia and the decay. You know, they aggressively moved into Center City, Philadelphia years ago and tried to open 24-hour stores and quickly were chased out of town. The remaining stores, I don't even think, open 24 hours anymore. Many of them just closed altogether. Why? Again, lawlessness, homelessness, theft. The retail theft alone, there was no protection for these stores. And so almost as quickly as they came into Philadelphia proper, they packed up and they left. Wawa has always been sort of headquartered in the suburbs for the most part. Well, we saw what happened on the boulevard in the Mayfair section. That viral video, Tucker had it again last night. It's national news. These kids I think it was again in the middle of the day, just went storming into this Wawa and ransacked it. They estimate $10,000 of loss, that particular Wawa store. So unrelated Wawa store, this one, not that one. You'd think that one, like you'd understand that one. This isn't the one. It's a different one, Fast Eddie.
Chris, it is. This is a block away from Roxborough High School, right across the street from the 5th District. It's honestly
where the shooting happened. Mind you, again, just yes. Set the scene again. So this shooting of these football players at the high school and this Wawa that we're talking about are all very close to a police station.
Yes, walking distance to a police station on both accounts.
And the Wawa has announced, between the hours of 2:30 and 3:30, we're closing our doors. Now, what does that tell you? What are we to reasonably conclude? They don't offer us much, but I think you can reasonably conclude they saw what happened to this other Wawa on the boulevard. Perhaps.
And Roxborough High, unfortunately, I think this Wawa is seeing a surge in shoplifting from the students when they're let out from Roxborough High. I think they're just afraid to say it, afraid to say why. That's, I think, what's happening.
So a national convenience store chain, well, I shouldn't say national, but I mean certainly up and down the East Coast, a massive convenience store company has decided that certain stores have to close for periodic hours that they establish to be high traffic student times. Students, children, not adults. So Wawa is in full retreat from Center City, basically. They're suffering thousands of dollars in damage in these kind of flash mob attacks on the boulevard. They're closing for windows of time in the middle of the day to avoid students just stealing from them outright. I didn't get to this headline last week. Philadelphia to install public porta-potties across the city because the smell of urine and people stepping over human feces has become such a problem, they feel like there's nothing left to do but try to install public toilets. Headline, safety concerns in Center City lead to more unarmed bike patrols and security guards around office buildings. More unarmed bike patrols, more security guards. This is the strategy to make office workers and visitors feel safer as employees return to work in Center City, Philadelphia. Through August, 52% of Center City office workers were back, though the number could go up now that Comcast is returning, requiring their employees to come to the office at least 3 days a week. Saying there is a negative halo over the city, the head of the Center City District, Paul Levy, has organized an initiative among downtown organizations to have more security personnel visible on the streets. The district itself is putting more unarmed bikers on the street. I know the pessimism we had here in the late 80s. We turned around a negative situation. We can do it again. From 6ABC, surging gun violence. Philadelphia reaches 400 homicides for the year. What's the Attorney General of Pennsylvania, the guy running for governor, have to say about all this? Has he issued a statement about any of this stuff that we've just talked about? Has he said anything? Has he offered solutions? What is Josh Shapiro, the guy running for governor of Pennsylvania, what's he have to say about this? Or is he too busy talking about the election of 2020? And Donald Trump. What's John Fetterman, the lieutenant governor of Pennsylvania, who wants a promotion to the United States Senate? What do they have to say about this? I know what Doug Mastriano, I know what Dr. Oz have to say about it. I know what the Republican Party has to offer and say about it. What are the Democrats saying about it? Answer, they're not. They're just ignoring it. Jim Kenney, the mayor of Philadelphia, he's just quit. He quit back in July. He doesn't even like the job. He doesn't want the job. He doesn't have any ideas left. Ban guns. I don't know how desperate Philadelphia has to get. I don't know how bad things have to get here. I don't. Fast Eddie, can it get worse? I guess. What's worse?
I mean, Chris,
what's worse look like?
I just, because I was so emotional, I just had to put some notes together. I mean, you had a man killed a block away from my house at Henry on the Park in February, shot to death. You had a man shot to death at the Sunoco station down the street from Roxborough High. You had this burglary now just down the other street in the opposite direction in Lafayette Hill, right over the Philly border. A burglary of an armed store. And, you know, what I paid attention yesterday when they had this press conference, and missing after a high school shooting, five kids, Councilman Curtis Jones, my councilman, wasn't there. Police Commissioner Outlaw wasn't there. Mayor Jim Kenney wasn't there, nor our state rep, Pam DeLisio. Nobody was there.
They never showed up.
No, even Krasner showed up yesterday.
How can you vote in November to reward this? How can you not want something different? How can the people that are overseeing this destruction and decay, how can you reward them with more? Point is, you're emotional about it, Fast Eddie.
Yeah, very much so.
So you sold your house recently. You got the hell out. You moved. You're selling your house. Are you staying? Are you going to stay in the area, or are you looking to move out?
In the process of, I think we're moving out.
Because of this stuff? Like, it's just unavoidable, unignorable at this point for you? I mean, as much as you'd love to stay, you just don't feel you can anymore because you got a new baby.
Yeah, I mean, Chris, if you look at it, his high school would be Roxborough High, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I have three high school kids right now, one of which plays football. I heard that story. It just chilled me to my core.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been your destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Thank you, Chris, very much. You have a great show. You have a highly rated show, too, by the way. I can't stand having been telling you lately.
Good morning, Chris. You're my voice of hope.
I'm concerned every single day. There's not an event or a day where I don't lay on my back at night, look at the ceiling, and wonder, worry about stuff. So everything we have in the city over the last 7 years, I worry about. I don't enjoy 4th of July. I don't enjoy the Democratic National Convention. I didn't enjoy the NFL draft. I'm waiting for something bad to happen all the time. So I'll be happy when I'm not here, when I'm not mayor, and I can enjoy some stuff.
You're looking forward to not being mayor?
Yeah.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
Glad to have you here today. Welcome in the middle of the week. And the telephone number, 610-850-0990, 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. The gun violence of yesterday comes pretty close to home, quite literally, for our executive producer, Fast Eddie, and his family. The gunfire yesterday erupted at the field and the track where Eddie's dad walks every morning. Thankfully, his dad was not around. Sadly, a 14-year-old boy was killed. One of, I guess, many that were kind of involved in this, either grazed or struck by bullets. One child is devastating, but there was only one death in this indiscriminate gunfire. Some 70-plus rounds, at least that we know of, from the evidence markers that law enforcement left. But what we were trying to kind of get to, as we headed into the top of the hour in the news, is there is not a portion of Philadelphia anymore, I don't think. It's been a long time since I have spent much time walking about in Center City or the immediate neighboring neighborhoods. But I think it's officially safe to say there's very little about Philadelphia or the surrounding immediate areas anymore where you feel like, yeah, this is fine. This is fine. I'm sure we'll be fine. You see the 23-year-old kid walking home near Drexel Thursday night, just shot in the back randomly by a passerby. No altercation. No crowds. No groups. Just a dude walking home. And some stranger who passes him on the sidewalk turns around and bang, 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 shoots him in the back three times, kills him. I mean, he wasn't walking anywhere I wouldn't have walked for years. Guy wasn't doing anything wrong. He wasn't stumbling drunk. Just a 23-year-old guy walking home. Is there, I'm serious, I don't want to be hyperbolic here, is there a section of Philadelphia left where you feel like it's fine? That stuff can't and or won't happen here. If there is, let me know. I don't want to over-exaggerate it if I am, but I just wonder which section of the city is still untouched from this. Let me know, and I'll go visit there, I guess.
Chestnut Hill. They're the only place I can think of because, Chris, there was a rape in Rittenhouse Park, off from Rittenhouse Square, either last week or 2 weeks ago. So, I mean, Chestnut Hill, I think, is probably the last safest place, neighborhood in Philadelphia.
Chestnut Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Now, why is that?
The Roxborough is going to come out on me, but it's just a lot of rich white people that, you know, not all from the city originally, that have moved in there and they can afford to live in there, and it's remained untouched even through the riots of 2020. It's just they've been able to avoid it. I don't know how.
I think what's always been striking to me, and, you know, I'll defer to this audience because you're the smartest audience on all the radio at 610-850-0990. Can you, or maybe you can help me with this? I've never understood this. Never. Like, I understand suburban living because that's all I've ever known. I'm a suburbs guy. I've always lived in the suburbs. I've never been a city dweller. You know, I take the train in or I drive in to see a game or a show or maybe to have a dinner out, maybe stay at a hotel, maybe for some fundraiser event or gala. But I as a lifestyle, living there day after day, 7 days a week, year round, no, never. Never appealed to me, never wanted it, never. So what's always been interesting to me about city living, there are two types of people specifically in Philadelphia proper now. I'm not talking about Roxborough or surrounding areas like that. I mean kind of in Center City. I've noticed it for years because I've told you I've visited these places before. Multimillionaires. I mean, some of the wealthiest people that I know or have met or have had cause to cross paths with that have these beautiful condos in high rises that tower over Center City. I've been in some beautiful, beautiful spaces of some very wealthy people. And then there's not wealthy people. I feel like in Philadelphia, that's basically what it is. A middle class, such that it is today, is forced to choose to live amongst this lawlessness or get the hell out. And it just seems to me, again, maybe I'm over-exaggerating and I don't have city data. Perhaps this warrants a conversation with a councilman or something. But it just seems to me that if you're a middle-class Joe trying to raise a family in this town, you don't want to. You can't. You just can't. So you're either extremely wealthy and can live kind of cloistered, gated, high atop it, or it's just lawlessness and depravity everywhere you look, and you're basically a street urchin. And is that unfair? That's the way I see the city these days. Is that unfair?
That's not unfair at all. It's when you have places like Roxborough, and when I was younger, Mayfair in the Northeast, when you have places like that where a lot of blue collar people came from or moved to get out of somewhere like North Philly, for example, they would move to a place like Roxborough or Mayfair. And to see those places become what these people moved away from is devastating. That there's just no explanation for it. It's just happening.
And inevitably, though, the politics of it all end up, I mean, this is an age-old story, end up dripping out into the surrounding suburbs. They do, because as a lot of left-wingers flee this for their lives as well, they pack their politics with them and head out into, as we've seen over the years, the evolution of, obviously, Delaware County was first, Montgomery County, Chester County, Bucks County. And we're starting to see crime spill out into those areas, too. But, well, I don't know. I'm at my wit's end with it. I'm not smart enough. I see the totality of it. We talk about it every day. I'm not smart enough to tell you what's going on other than lawlessness and a lack of prosecution. In fact, let's get to Larry Krasner then, who yesterday was touting how impressive he is on gun prosecution.
When asked about aggressive prosecution for those who carry guns, just as the city hit 400 homicides this year, District Attorney Larry Krasner touts his record.
There's aggressive prosecution of people who carry guns, and this in some way.
Well, as you know, our success in actually getting convictions for people who are killing other people with guns, our success rate is very high. It's close to 90% by the time that we get to trial.
Larry Krasner told the Philadelphia Inquirer in January, "We do not believe that arresting people and convicting them for illegal gun possession is a viable strategy to reduce shootings." Direct quote. Let me read it one more time. In January of this year, the district attorney of Philadelphia said, quote, "We do not believe that arresting people and convicting them for illegal gun possession is a viable strategy to reducing shootings." Direct quote. Broad and Liberty did some reporting on this, asked 23 different elected officials across the city. Jim Kenney, all 16 members of the Philadelphia City Council, as well as 7 state representatives or senators, their opinions on Krasner's stance on illegal guns, given the heightened interest in gun violence. Only 2 responded. Mayor Kenney believes that individuals carrying guns illegally should be held accountable for that choice, said the mayor's press office. The Philadelphia Police Department took a record number of guns off the streets last year. They continue to remove a substantial amount of guns this year. We will continue to do everything we can to address major causes of violence. Yes, that's fine. And, you know, we've got John McNesby coming up. Okay, fine. So you're getting cops are taking record numbers of guns. What's Larry Krasner doing about the punishment, though? Cops can only do so much. The cops are just the front line. Okay, so they catch the guy. They get the gun. Then what? Kenny, slightly more pointed in the days immediately following that South Street shooting, that infamous South Street shooting. I've gotten to the point where there's no price to pay for carrying illegal guns, so people carrying them because they don't think anything is going to happen. Krasner's office pushed back. Now, there's big tension here between Kenny and Krasner now. They never liked one another much, but remember Jim Kenney, the mayor of Philadelphia, has always been caught in this pickle. Jim Kenney didn't used to be the radical progressive that he pretends to be today, but in order to stay alive politically, he must bow to the altar of these progressives. He's scared to death of Larry Krasner. Larry Krasner scares Jim Kenney to death. And deep down in the pit of Jim Kenney's soul, assuming he still has one, he knows that Larry Krasner is bad for the city. For God's sake, Seth Williams knows Larry Krasner is bad for the city. Michael Nutter knows Larry Krasner is bad for the city. Broad Liberty investigation earlier this year turned up no evidence that the district attorney's office has ever made a direct specific request to either the mayor's office or to the city council with detailed forensic needs. From 2019 and 2020, of the 303 total illegal firearms arrests, 303, now, listen to me, listen to this stat. In 2019 and 2020, of the 303 total illegal firearm arrests, 2 received state prison sentences. That was from Captain Matthew Gillespie at the time. This was July 7th of last year. Of 303 total illegal firearm arrests, only 2 have received state prison sentences. So the cops are saying, we're getting the guns. We're getting as many guns as we can. We're arresting people and finding illegal guns as fast as we can. It ain't that we're having trouble finding them. We're finding them. But then what? Then what happens? Answer, nothing happens. Because remember the quote from January, District Attorney Larry Krasner. We do not believe that arresting people and convicting them for illegal gun possession is a viable strategy to reduce shootings. So, folks, it seems to me we're at an impasse. What do you do? So you have law enforcement that are finding a record number of illegal guns. Jim Kenney keeps passing laws. We keep passing laws, don't we? More laws. Jim Kenney signed another big law. No more guns in parks or some such thing, right? Was that the new law?
It was an executive order. Yeah, you can't have a gun on like a rec center property.
Which, of course, is going to be legally challenged. And should be. Because it's not about possessing, merely possessing a firearm. It's about being in possession of it illegally. And if you commit a crime with it, either one of those scenarios. You see, in the old days, when you commit a crime with a gun or you possess a gun illegally, you're punished very severely. So severely that you don't dare do it. And no one around you that knows you did it and got sent upstate, they know better. They learn from example. Oh, I don't want to be caught with an illegal firearm. I don't want to be caught committing a crime with a firearm. I'll go away for a long time. It used to be people understood. But now what do they understand? Direct quote from the District Attorney of Philadelphia. We don't think there's any need. We do not believe that arresting people and convicting them for illegal gun possession is a viable strategy to reducing shootings. And so yesterday, while three high school football teams are having a scrimmage in the middle of the day, four people open fire on a football field in Roxborough. And you can bet that the assailants did not possess the firearms they used in that shooting legally. You can just almost put money on it. So what do you do? So what do we do? What's the answer?
I mean, Chris, violent criminals have to be prosecuted. They have to be sent to prison. They have to serve full terms. They have to be made an example of so that people don't just walk around and continue to cause chaos and violence and kill children. I mean, the lack of respect for life is unlike anything I've ever experienced in my history. I mean, literally, women and children you're hearing now are being shot and killed.
And we have a district attorney that does not care. He does not care to prosecute this. They want this law. You know, there are some people that believe. You know what some people believe? Here's what I get from some. Democrats want this chaos. I mean, people go to dark places. I'm not saying this is me. I'm saying that some people believe that they want this kind of chaos so that ultimate authoritarianism can set in. Maybe even something like martial law. Some people go there. I'm not going there. I'm just saying I know that some of you in this audience do. Because it doesn't, at some point, when you see this kind of massive violence and chaos, and people in charge seem unwilling to do anything serious to stop it, you do have to ask why. At some point, you have to back up and go, well, what do we do here? What's going on? If there's mass violence and mass murder and mass chaos, and the guy in charge of enforcing laws says, eh, we really don't think enforcing gun laws is the play. So what do you do? Well, in Harrisburg, they subpoena the guy, and they say, we want you to come before us and explain what the hell you're doing. And he says, middle finger. Okay, so then what do? You hold him in contempt. 10 Democrats did too. And he still extends the middle finger. Okay, so then what do? I mean, let's game this out. Let's stop wringing our hands and going, oh no, another person shot. Let's actually talk about this. Let's game it out. Next step. Next now. Next. Next. What's next? What's next? What the F is next? Do you remove the son of a bitch? Do you arrest the son of a bitch? Do you throw the son of a bitch out of office? That's my play. How do you do that? What's Josh Shapiro say about it? What does the Attorney General of Pennsylvania have to say about it? And all you Republicans who dare reward and vote for this little bastard, Josh Shapiro, how dare you? How dare you? The blood of every dead Philadelphian is on your hands if you cast a vote for Josh Shapiro. How dare a single Republican in this town reward Josh Shapiro? Because he's from Montgomery County and has a nice head of hair. He's Jewish. Shut up. He has blood on his hands just as thick as Larry Krasner. He's done nothing to save the lives of this city. None. Nothing. What's he going to do? Governor Shapiro is going to do what about Larry Krasner? The same thing he's done as Attorney General for 8 years. Nothing. The only way this stops is with new leadership that will arrest this little piece of scum and rescue the city from his clutches. That's the only way it stops, is if Harrisburg changes direction. It's the only way it stops. It's not going to stop with Philadelphia leadership. It's not going to stop left to its own devices. There is no level of how bad is it going to get before we do something. We seem to keep reaching it, and there's no depths to which we sink that change this man's course. He doesn't respect Harrisburg lawmakers. He doesn't even respect his own party, who demand he answer to them. So what do you do? What's next? You have to arrest him. You have to physically remove him. You have to take his office over. You have to take law enforcement in Philadelphia. You have to take it over. And you have to have a leader in Harrisburg who's willing to do it. Do we have that right now in Governor Wolf? Do we have that in Josh Shapiro or John Fetterman? Is there a single Democrat that's willing to stand up for this city and say, I'm not going to allow the death to happen anymore? Oh, Jim Kenney keeps passing executive orders. I signed another executive order. Jim Kenney, he's throwing his hands in the air. I quit. I don't want to be mayor anymore. What's next? What are we going to do, folks? What's next? Elect Josh Shapiro? I can't believe the Thurston and Lovey, Cologne and Cufflink, well-heeled Republican set in this town that's about to reward Josh Shapiro this fall. I can't. You make me the sickest. You know, it's one thing if you're some progressive left-wing Democrat, but you people, and you know who you are. Some of you are listening to me right now, and you're disgusting to me. I wish you weren't. I don't want you in this audience. If you're even considering voting Josh Shapiro this fall, you're a disgusting human being. Shame on you. Blood is running faster and faster in the streets of Philadelphia. And the people who are allowing it to happen, they want promotions in November. And some of you are even going to give it. You're even considering giving them that promotion at the ballot box in November. Shame on you. The only way this stops is when hard and fast leadership in opposition to it is installed. It's the only way it stops. Oh, Larry Krasner is live on Fox 29 right now.
Shortly after the shooting, I was there for quite some time. And I have to tell you, it is one of the most heartbreaking cases that we have seen, because we expect our schools to be that safe place where young people go to do things that are constructive, to play football like every one of these victims did, to be in classes like they were, because you have to do that to play football. And when you see kids who are leaving the football field and they're gunned down, and they're between 14 and 17 years of age.
You're describing the water nicely, Larry. Way to describe the water. This is what's known as describing the water, folks.
The families, the neighborhood, the entire city. This is a horrifying situation. And I totally agree with you that all of government has to be on the same page, and so does all of community. We have to be in a position to work with our faith leaders and to work with our community activists, our community organizations, which we do as much as we possibly can. And I have to tell you, I think that that so does PPD and so does ATF, which was out there yesterday.
But it doesn't seem to be working.
We have a terrible crisis in this country when it comes to gun violence. I don't have good news for you, but I will tell you the number of homicides this day last year was more. We are a little bit down. There is a leveling after 2 years of going up very significantly, and we're seeing that all over the country. As the pandemic is shutting down, things are getting a little better, but there's a lesson here. The lesson is that we were in a shaky position when the pandemic hit, and we should have had a lot more money into things like football, into things like public school, into the things that are necessary for prevention that are constructive. That is the path forward, in addition to cutting-edge enforcement. And I've got to tell you, without getting specific, some of the investigative things that are being done in this case are pretty revolutionary, and they're pretty wonderful. It's something the city has needed for a long time. So that's the path. The path is cutting-edge enforcement coupled with a serious investment in prevention. That is what we're doing.
So when it comes to that, because in the same vein of what happened yesterday, Mayor Kinney made his announcement about executive order when it comes to banning guns at rec centers, which is a place where our young people go. We've had more than 200 gun incidents since 2019 around or near rec centers. Do you agree with this step? Do you think this is a move in the right direction? And are you committing to prosecuting folks if they are charged with having a gun near
question.
A rec
Alex,
center?
Yes
and yes. I totally agree, and we are committed to prosecuting. What it basically says is whether you got a permit or not, don't bring that gun onto these city properties. I think it's an excellent idea. We will fully enforce it. You know, we just had an arrest a couple days ago of a guy named Fahim Key, who shot and paralyzed a man over a disagreement in a basketball game while
what's
that other
happen
man
to
was walking away. That's
what's
going
to happen
happened.
To him. Okay.
But you know what? We don't. The most important thing is this. We do not just want to be prosecuting people after the crime. We want to stop the crime from happening and save that victim's life.
Yeah. Then you prosecute illegal gun crimes.
There's some folks in Harrisburg who want to impeach you. We'll talk about that after this.
Yeah, well, that's enough. I mean, okay. Look, the more gun violence, the greater the chance for gun control. Right? I mean, this from the left's perspective, what do they want? Jim, you heard what he said. He slipped it in there very subtly. You heard it? Hey, no, I'm all for gun bans. I think it's great what Jim Kenney did. I'm all for gun bans, whether you have a permit or not. Whether you have a permit or not. At some point, the thinking by radical progressives is this: you'll just get tired of the Second Amendment. You'll get tired of talking about guns. You'll say, oh, okay, I guess if we can stop the killings, then all right, okay. Screw the Second Amendment. Who needs the gun? That's their plan, if you game it out. Notice he didn't talk about prosecuting illegal gun possessors. Skirted right around that. Need more money. Need more money. We need more money for football. That'll stop them from being shot. How do you even square that? He just said those words. You know what we need is more money for football programs. The football players were shot by passersby, Larry. How does more money for football square? The only way this changes is if he is forced out. The only way this changes is if Harrisburg takes control of the lawlessness of this town and insists it get under control. That's the only way it changes. And it is not. This does not change by taking away the rights of legal gun owners. Which is really the only thing they see as their enemy. They're trying to lump this mass chaos, this mass illegality, they're trying to lump it all together with those of us who possess firearms legally and responsibly, hoping that someday they can create an environment where people just throw up their hands and say, okay, enough. You can take my guns, take their guns, just get all the guns. Do whatever you got to do. That someday things will get bad enough that they'll come knocking on your door and say, hey, look, it's deadly out there. Eddie, they're getting shot at Roxborough High. I mean, just we're trying to get rid of the guns. Hand me your gun. Just give me your gun. That's where they wish to go. Everyone together now. All of us together. Wouldn't it be better if none of us were in possession of guns? That is where the left would ultimately love to take this. I don't know about you, but I've never wanted a firearm more. at the ready in my life than right now.
It's Mike Gallagher. Join me this morning at 9 on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer. Now let's get you back to Philadelphia's Morning Answer with the great Chris DeGaulle.
Hey, Pastetti, could you throw Fox up real quick? Ron DeSantis just finished speaking down there. They're having a live press conference in Florida. I just kind of wanted to listen in because now it sounds like this storm has kicked up to what they think could be a Category 5 as it makes landfall. Like, it's getting big and strong. So this is the FEMA or Emergency Management Director of Florida speaking now. I just wanted to listen in a little bit.
A weather alert for a tornado. And as the governor has already mentioned, if you're in the Southwest Florida area, you should make the same preparations as if it is a tornado going over your house. Get to an interior room free of windows. Have stuff to be able to protect your head and body from the debris, such as a blanket, sleeping bag, mattress, or even potentially helmets. If there are flash flood warnings in your area, remember, it is never safe to walk or drive through flooded areas. We continue to coordinate with all of our electrical partners. As the governor's mentioned, there are over 30,000 linemen staged throughout the city, from north central Florida all the way down to the all the way down to Miami. As areas in South Florida and the Keys begin to experience power outages, remember to contact your service provider, not 911, for power restoration. You can also keep your refrigerators shut. Open them as little as possible to help preserve your perishable items. If you're using a generator, as we've been saying now for days, remember to keep it elevated, on a hard surface, away from doors and windows, outside of garages. This will help you stay safe. If residents have any questions about resources for Hurricane Ian, I urge them to reach out to their local emergency management or public safety office. This storm is here. It is imminent. I can tell you it is a Cat 4 hurricane, nearly a Cat 5. I know all of the emergency management directors in Southwest Florida very well. Combined, they have over 200 years of experience. They're preparing and they're expecting a Cat 5. So please stay indoors, stay away from windows, get to an interior location of your house. If anyone has any questions and they still have phone service, if you need to contact the state to ask for assistance, we have a cell assistance information line. That okay. number is 1-8.
Just wanted to dip in on that briefly. That's a live press conference down in Tallahassee with Governor DeSantis and their emergency management crew. So this, boy, this thing has really kicked up, and it sounds like it's going to get wicked. A Cat 5, so really, really strong. And sounds like most everybody has heeded the warning and evacuated, but and they say it's moving fast. So I guess I guess if there's good news, it's quick, and they think it's going to be out of there by tomorrow. So going to be strong and quick, and headed right for, kind of looks like just a little, maybe even south of Tampa, kind of between Fort Myers and Tampa, but it's going to just a little south of Tampa, a little north of Fort Myers, and it's going to be big. It's going to be strong. So we'll pray for those folks in that path. Meanwhile, back here at home, we're dealing with a storm of gun violence and just general crime. Larry Krasner, we were just carrying live conversation with him on Fox 29. Victor Fiorillo is over at Philadelphia Magazine. He wrote yesterday a piece about what's going on with Wawa. Victor, corporate America, and I appreciate you joining us this morning. I always feel for corporate America and corporate citizens in particular who are caught in situations like this. People love Wawa in this town. Wawa is a great corporate citizen of Philadelphia. They don't want to speak ill of Philadelphia, but it's just undeniably true that they've really suffered at the hands of the lawlessness of the city, and they've had to tuck tail operationally and leave. They're now having to dramatically change the way they do operations. And I don't know, maybe this is too far. Do you think it's incumbent upon them at all to tell the story a little bit? And would that change the direction of the story if Wawa spoke up and said, hey, look, here's what's going on? Because I feel like they're still kind of trying to be cute about it, if that makes sense. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, you know, Chris, it's interesting. I reached out to the spokesperson for Wawa a few times for the story that I wrote yesterday. And she's normally very responsive and didn't get back to me at all on it. And, you know, it was a pretty simple question. And you're right, during this whole saga over the last week, well, and prior to that too, with all the other problems, you know, they are cute about it. You know, they're trying to be correct. They're trying not to offend anybody. But I think it's also important to keep in mind that, you know, Wawa gets all this attention because it's Wawa, right? Like,
yep.
I mean, just to be honest with you, because I try to come on the show and be an honest journalist, if this happened at some no-name, you know, bodega in the middle of a neighborhood nobody knows about, like, I'm not sure I would have jumped on, you know, the story.
That's fair.
But it's Wawa, right? It's a newsmaker. Wawa makes news when good things happen. I mean, the day before, I had a breaking news story that the gobbler had returned to Wawa. I mean, come on, you know, like.
Yeah, well, they're a well-run, beloved company. I think that's the thing. Yes. Like, they're considered a benchmark staple of the Philadelphia region, and they've expanded up and down the Atlantic coast. So everybody knows them out here. It's just, I'm shocked at how they kind of aggressively tried to expand into Philadelphia, and now it seems that the crime is forcing them into retreat. I've been talking about it for a couple of years, and yeah. You know, they've never officially said that, but it's pretty clear that's what's going on.
Sure. I mean, you know, they had to curtail hours at, you know, some of the Center City shops. They closed some of them. You know, it's a real mess. I'm not sure how you deal with it exactly, other than, you know, what they're doing, which is pulling out or changing hours in some cases. And, you know, in the story I wrote yesterday, which is a follow-up sort of to the viral video story, I found a Wawa in the Roxborough section of Philadelphia, which has started closing for an hour every day from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m., not coincidentally the same time that the kids at the high school a block away get let out. You know, a pretty obvious move there. And, you know, when I talked to them, they made it clear that it was because they, you know, had some issues with students. They said, you know, they've had like 50 in there at one time, some of them causing trouble. And, you know, they pointed out some of them are good kids, but, you know, obviously we know there are some bad kids out there too. And, you know, they've just, you know, locked their door, and they have a sign up saying we're closed from 2:30 to 3:30. Yeah, I mean, the other problem with Wawa, I think, that I've noticed myself is when I go to the Aldi around the corner from me, there's always one, if not two, security guards, right? I've never seen a security guard at a Wawa. So I don't know if that's something they can consider, but you might think that a security presence might deter some of this stuff. The employees aren't going to get involved. Why would they? I want it. You know, I mean, if somebody threatening somebody else, it's a different question. But if they're just tossing tasty cakes on the ground and stomping them, you know, I don't think an employee is going to get in the middle of 100 kids.
Well, you've seen the amazing video of the Mayfair Wawa, you know, there on the boulevard that has gone viral and has made national news of that place being ransacked. Wawa reporting something like $10,000 in damage or lost property. The most amazing thing about one of those videos, I'm sure you've seen, Barstool Philly posted it. I reposted it. It was so stunning. All this chaos, the store's being torn asunder, and one of the Wawa employees behind the sandwich counter is videoing it on his phone. And a woman walks up to the counter while he's videoing and says, "Hey, are you all going to keep videoing, or are you going to make my sandwich?"
I love that woman.
It's amazing. Make my sandwich while the store is being ransacked.
That woman deserves a medal for filliness. She's just like, okay, yeah, I want my turkey.
Yeah, I mean, but it's like, that's the attitude. Like, the whole store is being destroyed. This woman says, hey, like, I want my sandwich. I don't know. It seems so, it's so depressing, really, you know?
It is. It totally is. You know, the other problem with the Wawa, too, are the their new self-checkout setups. And I've witnessed this a number of times myself at a Wawa in Delco. That I frequent, which is that, you know, there's nobody monitoring the self-checkout. So with, you know, I say kids because I've only witnessed kids doing it, like students, teenagers. They go up to the self-checkout with, you know, eight things. They scan one thing, stick it in the bag. There's no weight measure scale at the Wawa self-checkout the way there is at your grocery store, right? When you go to the Acme and you do self-checkout, the sensor knows how much, you know, what stuff you're putting in the bag and what the weight is to make sure you're not cheating the system. Wawa doesn't have that. So these kids, and I'm sure they do it all over the place. I've only witnessed it at one because I go to one. They just walk up to the register and they scan one thing and they take nine things. And the cashiers are behind them, so they have their backs to the cashiers, but the cashiers know they're doing it. And I talked to the cashiers the other day. They were like, yeah, well, you know, what are we going to do? Corporate won't let us do anything about it. I don't know. The Wawa situation is, you know, very unique. In one sense, this is happening elsewhere too. We've seen videos of, you know, people destroying and shoplifting at other stores. But yeah, Wawa, like, it's weird because it's such a beloved brand. And when these things happen, we all pay attention. But they've got to figure it out. You know, I mean, and the fact that this Wawa that I wrote about yesterday is literally, like, when I drove up there, I was like, wait, it's literally across the street from the police station. Like, you could throw a ball from the parking lot of the Wawa and hit the front of the police station. So this Wawa is across the street from a police station, is shutting its doors every day for an hour because it can't handle the quote unquote unruly students.
Yeah, and nearby that same police. Nearby that same police station is where four people apparently opened fire on a football scrimmage yesterday at the high school.
Yeah, that's right. Right after I was up there, that happened, and you know, such a tragic story. And they were, I think, football. Were they football players from that school, or were they visiting?
Two teams visiting, I believe. So three altogether. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what, you know. We got John McNesby coming up.
He's my biggest fan. Say hi for me.
Yeah, I'm sure. He's a fan of Larry Krasner's too. I think you both share in common disdain for Larry Krasner, though. Both you and McNesby.
We do.
And you know, Larry Krasner, it's interesting. What do you think ultimately should happen with him? What's his culpability or responsibility here in your view?
Well, I think what's important is that he's lost the confidence, right? There was a time where he was a target for the GOP. But now, you know, rational Democrats are, you know, wondering if they made a big mistake here, or when some of them are coming out and just outright saying it. A lot of people won't, you know, speak ill of him publicly, but when you talk to them privately, it's a different story. I think that we have a system in Philadelphia. We have elections, and I think it's going to come down to that. You know, I don't see him being removed from office. I don't see him resigning. I could be wrong about that, but
are you surprised 10 Philadelphia area Democrats voted to hold him in contempt in Harrisburg?
You know what? I'm not, to be honest with you. Like I said, I think if we were having this conversation a few years ago, everybody was on Krasner's side, right? He was getting national press. There was the documentary on WHYY. So, you know, if you were a good Democrat, a good liberal, you would get in line and, you know, fall behind Larry Krasner and all his big ideas. But now the tide has turned. We've seen, you know, the surge in crime, which, you know, certainly we can't blame Krasner solely for the surge in crime. But he is responsible for that attitude getting out there of, you know, nothing's going to happen to us. You know, the DA's on our side. Like, that's definitely the vibe out in the streets. And, you know, he is culpable for that end of this. You've got people like me who, you know, almost exclusively vote Democrat. I'm a liberal, fairly moderate liberal, but I have no confidence in Krasner. And I was saying that before, you know, it became suddenly popular for people to say that.
You personally did not want to see him reelected as a Philadelphian, if memory serves.
That's correct. And, you know, I'm longtime friends with Chuck Peruto. You know, I didn't see him winning either. And, you know, I think if the GOP could have put forth a different candidate, Chuck has some reputational problems that he hasn't been able to get over. I think it could have been different, but, you know, as we see time and time again, it's just, you know, the GOP seems unable to put forth candidates that are actually electable in Philadelphia. And granted, that's, you know, a big ask because, you know, we're an overwhelmingly Democratic town. But, you know, I think back to the days when, you know, the GOP was able to put forth, you know, a guy like Sam Katz, a wonderful man, service oriented, great values, and you know, he would have beat John Street. You know, yeah. I believe that. I think he would have beat John Street. We would have had a very, very good, competent Republican mayor of the city, if not for, you know, the whole mess surrounding the bug, which is another episode in and of itself.
It's a shame,
so, yeah,
honestly.
Things
have gotten so dire, it's a shame that you even have to talk about it through the prism of partisanship. I mean, you would love for someone to just show up and say, I'm not even going to tell you what my party is. I just oppose what the hell's going on, and I'm not going to do it the way Krasner did it. Whether I'm a Democrat or whether I'm Republican, no matter. I just promise I'm not doing it this way anymore. That's what would be refreshing. Yeah. But, you know, we're all still scorecarding with Republican Democrat on this, which a lot of dead people who don't care. Victor Fiorillo, I really appreciate your flexibility this morning. Thanks for jumping in.
Thank you, Chris. You have a good one.
You too. He's over there at Philadelphia Magazine. He just did a write up on this Wawa. I mean, doesn't say that all. Like, everything you need to know, right across the street from the police station there. And we got to close our doors from. I mean, you know, he said more security. It's like you got a police station across the street, and the Wawa's best answer is let's just lock our doors up while the kids are released from school every day. Oi. All right, 610-850-0990. John McNesby just around the corner. We're also going to talk with a representative of the Pacific Legal Foundation who is challenging the Biden student loan debt, air quote, forgiveness plan. That's officially been challenged in court. That had to happen to stop it from happening, so we're going to tackle that coming up. Telephone number 610-850-0990. Remember, if you'd like to win tickets, because we're sold out, if you'd like to win tickets to our October 19th event, they're available for register at 993.com.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. For more than a decade, he's been Philadelphia's destination for news, opinion, and passion.
Hey, Chris, thank you so much for doing what you're doing in the media.
Good morning, Chris. I listen to you every morning. Thanks.
Dear Mr. Segal, may he whose father gave us life keep you well and safe.
We don't have a crisis of lawlessness. We don't have a crisis of crime. We don't have a crisis of violence.
This is Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer, and 990theanswer.com.
In January, the Philadelphia Inquirer quoted Larry Krasner as saying this: "We do not believe that arresting people and convicting them for illegal gun possession is a viable strategy to reduce shootings." Let me say that one more time. Direct quote in the Inquirer, Larry Krasner, January 2022. "We do not believe that arresting people and convicting them for illegal gun possession is a viable strategy to reduce shootings." And so I bring in the Fraternal Order of Police President, Lodge 5, John McNesby. First thing this morning, after another story of another tragic shooting, this time involving four high school boys playing scrimmage football, Roxboro High School yesterday, just the latest death, sadly, in Philadelphia, John. And I, you know, look, that's an old quote, but I think it's still the operating theory of Larry Krasner's office. We do not believe that arresting people and convicting them for illegal gun possession is a viable strategy to reduce shootings. Does he still believe that in your view and your response, if so?
Well, he hasn't believed that since he took office. So I don't know what his strategy is. I don't know whether to give these thugs that are out there shooting people a timeout, put them in a corner, or you put them on. The answer is to go out and do police work, enforce the laws that are on the books, and let police officers do their jobs. If they know there's no consequences, they're going to continue to do what they do. Just see yesterday, five people shot, one killed, 14-year-old boy killed. There's too many kids being killed, and this guy just sits on the sidelines and scratches his head and says, you know, he's a great guy, and he pads his numbers, and the conviction rates are low. The prosecutions, if that, are low. We saw what happened at a Wawa, a local Wawa, the other night when they know he hasn't prosecuted any, any shoplifting offenses since he's been in office. So they know going in there and looting the store, nothing's going to happen to him. And yet he's on there calling for the parents to take action. I mean, come on, man. It's time to wake up.
John, it's an interesting thing. Victor, your pal, says hello over there at Philadelphia Magazine. Wink, wink. But the one thing that I did say that you two shared in common was your contempt for Larry Krasner. And he did a report on the Wawa there near Roxborough High, as a matter of fact. It's right across from one of your police stations, as a matter of fact. This Wawa that's now closed from 2:30 to 3:30 as students are being let out of high school. And it's literally right across the street from one of your precincts. What do you make of that? I know you're not a Wawa spokesperson, but what's your read on that?
Well, I think eventually they're all going to be doing that or pulling out of Philadelphia, as we saw in Center City with the Starbucks. There's another Wawa that's closing down. They're not in the business. This is a business to them as it is to the criminals on the street. They don't want to lose money. They're going to close it down. I mean, you go in there and you can walk right in there, take whatever you want off the shelf, and walk right out. Nothing happens. Walk into any Rite Aid, CVS, or Walgreens in the city of Philadelphia and go to the aisle where they have the aspirins and the cold relief and everything. Everything's gone. The streets or the shelves are empty. So if there's no repercussions, people are going to do what they continue to do, and that's whatever they want.
I have read the stats. I believe Commissioner Outlaw has shared stats. You guys, here are two things I know, if still true. You guys are at pretty historic lows in terms of men and women doing the work in uniform. Something like 500 officers short from pre-pandemic levels. Is that still about right?
It's increased. So we're about 800 down from pre-pandemic levels. And
800, wow.
You know, we can't get the, you know, we're out there, our recruitment unit's pushing it, trying to get people in, and they're making some tweaks. But, you know, the bottom line is why, you know, people do not, it's not an attractive job for them, especially with the leadership that we have here. And secondly, there is no incentive. I mean, while everybody was out recruiting and doing their work during the pandemic, Philadelphia sat on their hands and didn't bring anybody in. So we're losing 20 to 25 a month through retirements, disabilities, different things like that. And now we're playing catch up, and it's pretty dangerous. I mean, the most important time in someone's life or most tragic is when they're calling 911 for a police officer. And right now, nobody's coming.
800 officers. If I waved a magic wand and gave you 800 officers, if we don't have a prosecutor willing to prosecute crime, does the number of officers alone help you?
It does not. I mean, we can answer the calls, we can chase the radio, but we need to put these thugs and get that mindset back down that they're going to jail if they get arrested with a gun. There was just a story the other day about a guy that was out. He was arrested for murder. He was rearrested and never went back to court and then committed two additional murders. So, I mean, that's somebody that should have never been on the street with bail. You're in jail, you're staying there until you're, you know, there's a certain, and I scream about this constantly, there's a certain percentage of people that are out there doing these crimes, and there's a certain percentage that need to stay in jail and not get out. And right now, that is not happening in the city of Philadelphia, nor do we have somebody that cares in Larry Krasner.
I'm certain I didn't talk to you after the 4th of July incident. I think maybe we talked after the South Street incident. I don't remember exactly when, but I know I have not spoken to you since the famous clip of Jim Kenney. And Eddie, if we could play that. After 4th of July, the mayor of Philadelphia said this about that.
I'm concerned every single day. There's not an event or a day where I don't lay on my back at night, look at the ceiling, and wonder, worry about stuff. So everything we have in the city over the last 7 years, I worry about. I don't enjoy 4th of July. I don't enjoy the Democratic National Convention. I didn't enjoy the NFL draft. I'm waiting for something bad to happen all the time. So I'll be happy when I'm not here, when I'm not mayor, and I can enjoy some stuff. So.
You're looking forward to not being mayor?
Yeah.
John McNesby, president of the FOP Lodge 5, the mayor of Philadelphia says he's looking forward not to being mayor. You say?
I think a lot of people are waiting for that day, too. bottom line is, I mean, if you do your job out there and let the police do their job and keep let up that stranglehold, we'll get the job done. We'll do the job. We'll put people in jail, whether Krasner keeps them there. is one thing. But, I mean, let's look at yesterday. They make a big thing about signing an executive order so you can't carry your gun on a playground. Think about that for a minute. And I don't mean to make light of anybody who has been shot, but they're in a playground or lost their lives or the family of those. But they also feel the same. Signing that executive order means nothing. I mean, the people that are carrying guns in playgrounds aren't looking for an executive order. They don't care about an executive order. They don't look at the TV to care what the mayor does. They're going to do what they do. They're going to bring that gun to a basketball court, and they're going to use it if they need to. So that executive order means nothing. It's also illegal. You can't just change law where somebody has a right to carry a gun or a permit on the other hand and walks in there with their grandkids because they feel unsafe. You can't arrest them for carrying a gun. And then you got Larry Krasner saying, you know, you're going to have a problem with me. Well, nobody has a problem with you, dude, because you don't do anything. So, I mean, it's just, they're just trying to react to the media. They're trying to react to make it seem like they're doing something. Having press conferences after the fact, it just makes no sense. Having a press conference on a Monday talking about what happened on a weekend. How about talking about what you're going to do this weekend to prevent this? So none of that talk is taking place at all in the city right now.
I was going to ask you, legal firearms owners, people with permits to carry, is there any scenario in which you would tell those people they shouldn't carry or should disarm themselves? What would you say to someone who says, look, I have a legal permit to carry a gun? What does John McNesby say to that person? Would you recommend they carry right now to protect themselves in Philadelphia?
Would recommend if you have a permit to carry a gun, carry a gun. You never know when you're going to use it. You're there. You want to protect yourself. You want to protect your property. You want to protect your family most of all. Because right now, as I said earlier, when you're dialing 911, it's going to take quite some time for an officer to get there if they come at all. So it's only you and that criminal.
John McNesby, this is where it's going to get a little uncomfortable in this interview. I think of you as a friend, and I think of the work you and the men and women that you represent as allies and friends. So I ask this with respect, but a little bit of confusion. You guys endorsed Dr. Oz, and I understand why. I think we all understand why John Fetterman's a problem. I need help understanding the endorsement of the Attorney General, Josh Shapiro. Can you help me?
Absolutely. And it's not uncomfortable at all. I mean, Josh has been there for us since being elected in 2016 as Attorney General. Every time we pick up the phone, he answers. He's helped us with grants. He's helped us with infusion of agents into our city. He's doubled, maybe tripled the amount of people assigned to the Gun Violence Task Force. Every time there's been a conflict, and that's where the confusion comes in. People think that he can just pick up a case in Philadelphia. He cannot do that unless it's referred to by D.A. Krasner, and he's not referring anybody there because he knows he'll prosecute crime, or there's a direct conflict. So every time there's been one of those, he's taken the case, and he's been there with the infusion of money and help, and he's been there at every one of our, you know, we have a different events for our families who were killed in the line of duty. He's been to every one of them. So he's been there. On the other hand, when we talked to Mastriano two different times, he's anti-union. He's right to work. He wants to tell you when to come to work, when to go home, pay you what he wants to pay you, and you're going to change shifts every day. He's not a friendly guy to work with, and especially on the law enforcement end. So that's key.
Okay. I understand your labor disputes, but it is wholly disingenuous to suggest that Josh Shapiro feels a damn bit about what's going on with the violence in Philadelphia. He does not. And you know that.
Well, I mean, no, I don't know that because I've spoken to the guy. I speak to him at least two to three times a week.
What's he said about Larry Krasner, John?
He's not a fan. Absolutely not. They don't even
Is there a public documented case of him speaking out against Larry Krasner? Because I can't find it.
Well, maybe I don't look for that stuff. You know that. I mean, if you tell me you can find one, that's fine. But, I mean, I don't know whether they have some agreement not to fight publicly. I don't get involved in that end. I could just tell you what he's done for the Philadelphia police officers.
Well, you're 800 short, and violence has never been higher. I don't understand what a guy who's been Attorney General, the top cop of Pennsylvania for 8 years, I don't understand what he's done to impact the degradation of the city at all. I don't see it. I mean, look, as far as a pro-labor guy, okay. Like, if he's on your side for benefits and hours and all that stuff, great. But, I mean, in terms of doing your job well, I don't see how he's impacted
that
a bit.
He just freed up $25 million to give to the Philadelphia Police Department to use for retention bonuses to keep people on the property. So I think that's pretty big. I mean, that's putting your money where your mouth is.
Okay, he's also... If he's governor, John, respectfully, so you have 10 Democrats in Philadelphia that have voted to hold Larry Krasner in contempt. The only thing that's going to get done about Larry Krasner, if it's done in Harrisburg, do you think Josh Shapiro is going to be helpful in removing Larry Krasner if it comes to it as governor?
I think so, absolutely. And I think he's going to be governor. I mean, there's not a chance in hell he loses. He's up by double digits. I mean, so it's only smart for us to put our money where our mouth is also, and to back a guy that's going to be there who can work with us in the future to get this guy out.
Okay, so you've calculated he's going to win, but the polls also suggest – I mean, I can point to you polls that say Fetterman's going to win by double digits. So why didn't you put your money behind Fetterman?
That's scary, too. That's even scarier.
They're the same administration, John. They're the same Democrat Party. They're in Harrisburg together. They're part of the same executive branch.
I get you what you're saying there, Chris, but D and R, I look at two different things. People look at Democrats, people look at Republicans. I look at who helps police. And I could tell you the record that they have with me since I've been sitting in this desk for 15 years. And I could tell you what each one of them done. Fetterman has done zero. He won't even sit down and meet with us. He declined to interview with us, just like Hillary Clinton did when she was running for president. So they give you no other options. And we're not going with, you know, nor will we ever go with a guy like Fetterman. But that's, you know, it's putting somebody on his staff who was a supporter of Mumia and an outspoken part of his committee to get him out of jail. That's a no-no here in Philadelphia to begin with. So there's a lot of different things, but I don't look at it as DNR. I look at it who helps the cops on the street.
Yeah, I just don't see any evidence that, I mean, I guess I'm glad that you're telling me he does it privately, because publicly Josh Shapiro doesn't impress me a bit.
That's why you're in radio, Chris, and I'm a union rep. So, I mean, we look at two different ways. We look at it two different
ways.
Well,
no, but he's a public official and accountable to the voters, and I'm one of those. And so, respectfully, I don't care about your union. I care about the representation of the people of Pennsylvania.
See, and that's different from me. I care about the cops on the street, and that's my main focus.
Well, no, I mean, of course I care about cops on the street, but I also care about who's representing the people of Pennsylvania, and they're dying in record numbers in Philadelphia, and I don't see that Josh Shapiro intends to change course.
Well, then we'll have to agree to disagree on that one.
All right. John, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
You got it, pal.
Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris Stegall on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Well, it was an enlightening conversation with John McNesby, president of FOP Lodge 5. Still to come, Michael Poon, attorney at Pacific Legal Foundation. We'll talk with him about PAC Legal's lawsuit against the Biden administration on this student loan debt forgiveness business. They've officially sued on that, so we will talk about that case in just a minute, so stand by. But I wanted to get your reaction to my conversation with John McNesby. They have endorsed Dr. Oz in the Senate race. But when I pressed McNesby and said, what's the difference between Fetterman and Shapiro? He says, oh, it's big. Did you get the sense that he articulated what the big difference was exactly? I sincerely, what was the big difference he articulated between Fetterman and Shapiro?
I want to
be fair here.
Yeah, no, that Fetterman had supported the police both monetarily and...
Shapiro had.
Yes, Shapiro, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and Fetterman won't talk to them.
Right.
Or something like that. Okay, Rocky's in Warminster to get it started. Let's go right to the calls because I wanted to get your reaction. Rocky, thanks for hanging. What do you say? Good morning.
Good morning, Chris. I just want to say it's politics as usual. It's Philadelphia politics, and you have to realize that the McNesby is basically, as he said to you, I'm a president of a union, and I'm out for my members. And basically, Shapiro paid $25 million for their endorsement. Because he said he freed up $25 million. Of course I'm going to go with him. Yeah. I mean, he paid for the endorsement with my tax money. It's just unbelievable. It's like, this is why, and I love police, I love fire, and I love the unions, but this is what happens. They're not out there for And that's where I guess where we get caught up. They're not out there for the public good most of the time. It's out for the members. I don't care if it's teachers' unions or if it's public unions or private unions. They're out for their members. It's just terrible that they paid. He used my money to pay for that endorsement. It's just terrible. I mean, how do you not say to yourself, let's get to the greater good? If I have a strong DA and if I have a strong presence of law enforcement, it's going to be better for my members because they're not going to get shot at every day, not because they're going to get an extra $10 a week and not have to work. It's mind-boggling, absolutely mind-boggling.
Thank you, Rocky. Robert's next in Roxboro, scene of this terrible shooting yesterday at the high school. 4 students playing football shot, 1 killed, 14 years old. Robert, what do you say?
I agree with Rocky. I mean, this guy is just a Democratic talking piece. I mean, if you're telling me that Fetterman and Shapiro are not cut from the same cloth, that's insane. Because if you don't think these two are not talking at some point with all the crime going on in the city, you're out of your mind. I mean, it's just typical politics, and people are dying left and right from it all the time. It's one party, one say, you know, and just it just turns out bad.
Robert, thank you. Eileen's in Cinnaminson. Now, I know you're in New Jersey, Eileen, but when I say Shapiro and Fetterman are from the same administration, can you separate the two? John McNesby says we can. Can you?
Absolutely not. No way. I just want to say, like the last two callers, absolutely, it's about the money and this union. I love the police. I have a lot of police officers in my family. That's not what's best for police, because police are hired to protect and serve the public, the community, and they're just getting money. So it's all about the money for this union. So it's very disheartening. It's very sad. And people need to step up. Maybe they need a new union president who's actually going to look for the best interest of protecting police, because money's just money. Your life is just so much more.
Yeah, I don't know that Josh Shapiro is going to do much to get 800 officers put to work. I don't think 800 people will. You know what? Like, I bet if Josh Shapiro becomes governor, they're not going to see an influx in enrollees. I don't think that's the issue. Do you, Eileen?
Conditions.
Yeah.
No, not at all. The conditions are bad. Who wants to be a police officer if you're going to get shot at and you're not going to help the public? You're not going to protect anybody.
Eileen, thank you. Mike's in the Northeast. Mike, I'm glad you called. Good morning. Hi, Mike.
Hello. Hi,
you're
Chris.
On here, Mike. Hello.
Look, I'm totally pissed after listening to McNesby. I mean, these people, I don't know, every Democrat is a communist. It ain't that hard anymore. Shapiro is directly responsible for the election we had, the fraudulent election. And that's it. And that's criminal for me to say that right now. That's criminal. We are at war right now. Not only with our government, we're at war with everything, the criminals, and we're not getting any freaking help at all. Nothing. And this McNesby is so narrow-minded at just saying that he could split up Shapiro from a Fetterman is utterly ridiculous. It's not that hard anymore. Shapiro is responsible for all this. If we had an attorney general who would have looked into this fraudulent election in the first place, Biden wouldn't be in screwing around with all this, laws that take our rights away. People feel powerless today. That's what communism is. They're authoritarian, centralized government.
Mike, thanks. Let's do one more before we turn over to PAC Legal, and that's Greg in Delaware. Greg, I'm glad you called. Your read on the interview today. Hi.
Good morning, Chris. I'd like to say I don't have a dog in this fight because I live in Delaware, but actually I kind of do, because this affects me whether or not I want to go up to Philadelphia for any type of entertainment or anything like that. I mean, Shapiro's the attorney general. There's nothing he can do to get rid of Larry Krasner. He can't compel him to appear before those in Harrisburg. And then those in Harrisburg, okay, they held him in contempt. Ooh, wow, whoopee. You can have the federal government go after people and raid their homes, but we can't do that to Larry Krasner, you know?
Josh Shapiro is paid. He's the attorney for the citizens of the Commonwealth. And as such, he should act as our defense attorney of sorts. And, if Governor Wolf's not going to compel him to do it, I mean, that's what I mean. Like, making him governor says to McNesby what? That he's going to do what about Larry Krasner?
And he says, trust me, he will. And I say, well, where's the evidence that he has any problem with Larry Krasner? And I'm told private assurances. Well, I mean, we haven't heard anything publicly. I mean, don't you think you'd run now? If never, you would run now on I will deal with Larry Krasner, elect me. Like, if I'd give Shapiro the benefit of the doubt if he said I'll deal with Larry Krasner, make me governor. But he's not saying that, is he?
Exactly. I mean, and it's like the callers have said, it's all about the money. I mean, you always hear about the people say, oh, you know, you can't stand this politician, but come election time, he keeps getting voted back in. Why? Oh, well, he brings money back to the district to take care of special projects. You know, that the $25 million he freed up, it didn't, like you said, didn't get 800 members signed up for the police. You know, wouldn't McNesby say, hey, you know, that's 800 more people that are paying into union dues, too.
Yep. Greg, thank you. I appreciate the phone call. That was a frustrating interview, not going to lie. But look, you know, I'm torn because, I mean, McNesby's also a guy who says, I don't think legal gun owners shouldn't carry guns. You know, so it's like you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. You got to work with what you're given here. I don't look at McNesby as my, you know, 100% enemy or something. Just politically, it does seem to be politics as usual in an extraordinarily deadly time. And I'm just flabbergasted that you would try to make an intellectual case that there's a dime's worth of difference between John Fetterman and Josh Shapiro. I spent my entire show yesterday making the case that they're the same man, did I not?
Yeah.
They are the same man. Of course they're the same man, of the same ideology, with the same party backing them. And we're being told that one is different than the other. No, they're not. Josh Shapiro, as governor of Pennsylvania, is not going to do a damn thing to change the state of crime in Philadelphia. I can guarantee you that. And keep this tape. And if Shapiro does become the next governor of Pennsylvania, we'll evaluate this. We'll evaluate it. All right, 610-850-0990, the number, 610-850-0990. Big news yesterday. We were wondering who was going to be first to do it, and apparently our friends at the Pacific Legal Foundation are the first to do it, jumping in to challenge Biden's student loan debt cancellation. Politically, it does not seem to be popular. I haven't heard Democrats touting it at all. Biden apparently seems to be interested in going forward with it. Michael Poon is an attorney at the Pacific Legal Foundation and here to discuss it today. Michael, first of all, thanks for doing this. I think a lot of us were wondering who was going to challenge it first. You guys were first in. Good morning.
Thanks for having me. Oh, yeah, we're glad to be first.
What was the basis? Why did you guys decide to take it up?
Yeah, so Pacific Legal Foundation is the oldest organization dedicated to challenging government overreach. And we are constantly scrounging for ways to hold the government accountable. This was a big one. And it turns out that one of our own employees, the plaintiff, Frank Garrison, was going to be harmed by this loan forgiveness program. So we decided to bring the case.
How do you guys establish harm to one of your employees, Frank Garrison? How so?
Yeah, so Frank is in one of at least six states that are set to tax this loan forgiveness. And for 8 million people who are eligible for the loan forgiveness, it's going to be automatic. It's just going to happen, and so you don't have a choice about it. So Frank lives in Indiana, and he's going to see a tax bill come April that's going to be over $1,000. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, okay, he's going to get a tax bill for $1,000. He's getting $10,000. Seems like it's still a pretty good deal for him. And the thing is that Frank is in a congressionally authorized forgiveness program where if you spend 10 years in public service, you earn a right to have your loans forgiven.
Oh.
So he's getting close to that 10 years. But the point is, at the end of that 10 years, the balance is forgiven anyways. So it doesn't matter if there's an extra $10,000 or $20,000 on there or not. So what the outcome of this is, the loan forgiveness program is not going to give him any benefit. It's just going to be a pure harm, $1,000 tax bill in April.
That's a fascinating premise. I hadn't considered that. So anybody that's got a job out there, civil service or private sector service, and they say as part of the benefits package, if you will, of the job is, we'll pay off your student loan debt. That all of a sudden, if the government comes in and says, nah, we're paying off your debt, but we're going to tax that. Then what was actually true debt absolution for a citizen is now actually $1,000 penalty because of the government's action. That's fascinating, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, but the problem is whenever you have really big programs like this just going through by executive fiat, you can expect this sort of sloppiness where this you'll have some portion of people who are harmed in a way that maybe you didn't expect. This sort of program, which is $500 billion to be given across 40 million people, this is what we have a Congress for. This is what the Constitution demands, and that's where it should have gone. And Congress has tried to pass debt forgiveness a couple times now, and it's failed both times. Now, some people may not like that, but that's the entity that should be making that decision.
Well, that was my next question, was is there a constitutional basis for this? Setting aside Mr. Garrison and the harm, is there an argument that just says the president cannot unilaterally spend money like this? That the power of the purse comes from Congress. It seems like you're on good legal footing to make that case.
Absolutely. And I agree with the power of the purse argument. That isn't part of our suit. But what the constitutional argument we do have is Congress has said in statute that if you borrow money from the federal government, you have to pay it back, right? Aside from these sorts of little programs that Congress has created to incentivize things like public service, in general, if you borrow from the government, you have to pay it back. It's common sense, right? And the administration is just blowing right past that, and it can't do that constitutionally. Congress is the one who makes the laws. The executive executes and enforces the laws.
Here's the other thing. Michael Poon, attorney at the Pacific Legal Foundation, challenging this Biden student loan cancellation. The justification for his actions here, his unilateral actions, are under emergency authorization. He has gone out publicly and said the very emergency that he's using, the pandemic, is over. Should that matter to a court of law?
It absolutely should. This action should be looked at in context. We are at the very, very, very tail end of coronavirus, if we're even still in it. We've got the vaccine, right? If this action was going to be taken to help people who are being impacted by coronavirus, first of all, it wouldn't be 40 million people across America. It would be people who had some sort of direct harm from the pandemic. And it really should have been before this point.
Yeah, so it seems to me on multiple fronts, and this is where I'm not an attorney, so I defer to you. All these points that we've made, I think all good ones. I know you're very specifically focused on the sort of the narrow focus of the harm it could inflict on your employee, Frank Garrison. But are these other issues considered by judges who hear this case, or no? Is it only the kind of the narrow case you're making that they would render a judgment?
Well, actually, all of these things that we're talking about, at least some of them, form the legal basis of our argument. So what is happening is the administration is trying to use a statute called the HEROES Act to get this done. And the HEROES Act says, all right, if you've been impacted by some sort of national emergency or some sort of disaster, that impact causes you to fall behind in your student loans or something like that, then the Secretary of Education can step in and help you out. It's envisioning the sort of thing where, you know, you're in downtown Manhattan, there's a terrorist action, the bank's closed, you can't pay your loan payments because the banks are closed. And so in that sort of situation, you go into default and then the Secretary of Education can step in and help you out. It's not envisioning this sort of blanket, well, the whole country is a disaster area, so we can just sort of do what we want with everyone's loans. So the fact that the pandemic has really passed by now, and the fact that no one is actually in a position where they need this sort of relief, and I don't mean that no one is in a bad economic position. What I'm saying is that it has to be you're in a bad position with respect to your student loans, and then the Secretary of Education can intervene. And federal student loans have been on pause for repayment and on interest accrual since the beginning of the pandemic. So no one is actually in a worse position with their federal student loans because of COVID.
I get this question a lot, and I don't know that you know the answer. I certainly don't. People say, where does Biden get the money? Like, where does it physically come from? Let's say he's successful and he goes forward and these checks are cut.
what department cuts the checks? Where does the funds come from exactly? Do you even understand the formula here?
Yeah. So what's happening is that this is money that's due to the government. So I don't think this is a little bit outside of the scope of the lawsuit, but I don't think that the money is actually going out from the government. It's not coming in. And of course, it's equivalent, really. It's effectively the same thing because it should be coming in, but it's a little bit different.
No, I get what you're saying. Of course. So you're basically saying they're basically cooking the books, if you will. They're just going to take an eraser, a figurative eraser to the ledger, and just erase debt off the books, not physically send money out.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it really shouldn't matter for the way that we think about it. For the way we think about it, we should be saying this is a huge cost to the government either way, and it should be coming from Congress, if at all.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, just think about it in your own life. You know, if you lent somebody $10,000, you know, great if you're willing and you're a friend and you want to just do it. But I mean, if you're really counting on getting that $10,000 back, and he just says, "Hey, can't you just erase it? Can't we just pretend you didn't give it to us?" That's only it's times a trillion that we're talking about here. Michael Poon, listen, I hope you guys are successful. Are you the only ones that you know of, at least on a high level, a national level, challenging this? People were wondering when there would be a legal challenge to it. And if lower courts don't side with you, do you anticipate you'd appeal? Could this wind up before the Supreme Court? Or do you anticipate being successful at a lower court level? And if so, what does that mean? Is he stopped right away? How does it play out?
Right. We do expect to be successful in the lower court, but even if that happens, we surely expect the government to appeal. So either way, whoever wins or loses in the lower court, we expect this to go up, and it does have the potential to reach the Supreme Court for certain. But as regard to whether there are other parties coming in to bring other lawsuits, that is entirely possible. Would welcome that. We want to restrain this overreach by the executive. So that's what we're doing here.
These things typically speed through the courts when you're talking about something that's time sensitive, right? Courts generally will move a little faster when you're talking about something Biden's threatening to do right this minute. Is that true or not necessarily true?
Absolutely. And we have a motion for a temporary restraining order before the court right now in the Southern District of Indiana. And we've asked the court to rule by Thursday.
Fascinating. Well, I wish you all the best, and I hope we can stay in touch as this progresses. Thank you, Michael Poon.
Thank you.
Telephone number 610-850-0990. 610-850-0990. We're online at 990theanswer.com. 8 million people, roughly, they think, in the bullseye of this hurricane. Roughly 8 million Floridians. Just shy of a Category 5. It's intensifying rapidly, and it's barreling just south of Tampa, just north of Fort Myers. It's going to pack a wallop, but I guess it's moving really fast. So while it's intense, it's not going to linger, it doesn't sound like. And they think it'll be out of there by tomorrow. So we'll watch that with interest as we take a look at traffic.
Sun glare could be a factor this morning. This report is sponsored by Blindster. We've got slow driving along 422 into 23. 76 east delays 202 to Belmont. Then it's jammed from the Boulevard all the way into University Avenue. Westbound crawling past the Young Divine. Then from the Boulevard all the way out through 202. 95 south delays Academy through Bridge. 55 slow at the freeway. 42 slow from Blackwood to 95. Then you're stacked up across the Ben Franklin Bridge into Center City. Do you need new blinds or shades? Blindster.com offers custom-made blinds, shades, and shutters shipped directly to you at prices less than the big box retailers. Blindster blinds are easy to install and guaranteed to fit. Don't overpay for new blinds. Shop today. Save big. Blindster.com. I'm John Butterworth for Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer and 990theanswer.com.
Yeah, I got a lot of Fletch fans coming out of the woodwork today after that interview. What kind of name is Poon? Comanche Indian? Got to be a Chevy Chase Fletch fan to know the reference. Michael Poon, our guest. What kind of name is Poon? It's a line in that movie. gorgeous day today. 70 and sunny for the high. 54 overnight, 70 tomorrow. Just a glorious stretch of weather. It's only 51 degrees and nothing but sunshine this morning on Philadelphia's AM 990 The Answer.
It's one thing to say you are wired differently, but another to prove it. Hi, I'm Todd Saylor, author of Wired Differently. I'm an ordinary person who achieved extraordinary results by embracing the idea that I was wired differently. As a motivational speaker, entrepreneur, athlete, world record holder, and philanthropist, I found that being wired differently was an asset. Wired Differently empowers you to think differently. Dig into your unique talents and discover new ways of solving problems. With more than 35 years in the corporate world, I've helped countless teams, leaders, and organizations solve complex business problems in numerous industries by thinking differently. At Wired Differently, we're a creative company that offers innovative resources to help people become more empowered and take charge in their own direction. See the world differently at ToddSaylor.com. That's Todd, S-A-Y-L-O-R.com.
I'm Liz Claman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are under pressure in the pre-market the morning after the S&P hit a new fresh bear market low, dipping 8 points to 3,647. The European Union warning of retaliation for any attack on Europe's energy networks after suspecting damage to two underwater natural gas pipelines was from sabotage. And King Charles banknotes won't circulate till mid-2024, according to the Bank of England. Though the portrait of the king, which will be on banknotes, will be revealed by the end of this year. This means likenesses of King Charles III and his mother, Queen Elizabeth II, will be in circulation simultaneously in Britain. Notes with Queen Elizabeth's image on them will only be removed from circulation if they become worn or damaged to minimize environmental and financial impact. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Lillian Wu, invested in you.
You spend the first hour of your vacation at the luggage carousel thinking there's nowhere to go but up. But there is a place to go but up, because when you open your suitcase, you find it filled with dolls. Dolls like the ones in that movie that scared you so much you wet your girlfriend's bed. Ah, Marissa, the one that got away. You return the bag to the airport with relief. It lasts until you get back to your room, where a fallen doll waits to greet you.
Don't let a suitcase full of dolls ruin your vacation. Go on a real vacation. GoRVing.com.
Doug Mastriano has been a champion of ensuring your hard-earned tax dollars don't pay for abortion. He supports protection of mothers and their preborn babies. His opponent supports using your tax dollars to pay for abortions. Elect Doug Mastriano, governor, a champion for Pennsylvania and for unborn babies. Paid for by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation Political Action Committee, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. The Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation Political Action Committee is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Get The Answer on our mobile app at 990theanswer.com, on Alexa, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn, and the Odyssey app. We're Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
This is Dennis Prager, middays 1 to 3. You're listening to Philadelphia's Morning Answer with Chris DeGaulle on Philadelphia's AM 990, The Answer.
Oh, boy. Last night, Don Lemon was trying to get the director of hurricanes, the guy that studies hurricanes at NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, trying to get him to say, is climate change making this more severe? And he's like, dude, I don't want to. We're not here to do that, right? I'm trying to talk to people about the danger of this. Yeah, but no, really, climate change. I mean, I used to live there. Storms are intensifying. It's just, he goes, I don't know that. I mean, we can talk about that broadly maybe another time, but you can't look at any one weather event and say that it's, no, I'm not, no. They are hell-bent to make this a political story, and they are hoping beyond hope that this is destructive, and most of all, they hope that somehow they can pin Ron DeSantis for it. So keep a sharp eye. We certainly will be here. Telephone number 610-850-0998. Robert's in Wilmington. Robert, glad you called. Good morning.
Hey, Chris, great show once again. But your previous guest, you drew an analogy where you said with the student loan, it's like you're going to your neighbor borrowing $10,000, and, you know, and not pay, and, you know, your neighbor just says, hey, you know, forget it. You know, you don't have to pay it back. That's not quite true. It's like you going to your neighbor needing $10,000 and he borrows money from everybody on the block to give you the $10,000. Then the neighbor says, hey, don't worry about paying it back. Because all these other people want their money back.
Better analogy. That's exactly right. Yeah, that's why I try to avoid analogies on the fly. But that was a better analogy. That's exactly right. Well done. Thank you, Robert. 610-850-0990. Let's go to Rob in Quakertown. Hey, Rob, glad you called.
Good morning, Chris. In my world, Chris, this is a tax. Those folks, that money was money that, just say, was in the bank, in the government, you want to say. And they laid out a check to Villanova, Yale, whomever, and that money is owed to the government. If it's not repaid, this is a tax on everybody else.
It's well said, Rob. There's no other way to say it. That's exactly right. And, you know, it's funny because the left is constantly asserting that whenever a local government or a state government incentivizes a business to build, they say that's a giveaway, right? They get very angry. They say it's a giveaway. Well, no. I mean, in this instance, the purest, like, I don't know, if I'm Chris Stigall Empire, and I have, you know, I'm the size of something like Comcast, and Philadelphia wants me to bring Chris Stigall Empire into Center City, Philadelphia, and they say, okay, I tell you what, we're not going to make you pay city taxes or wage taxes for 10 years or something. Democrats shout, that's costing us money. That's a giveaway. Well, no, that's just money I'm not paying. Now, it's different if it's money I owe. I've already racked it up, and the city says, ah, never mind, we're not going to make you pay it. Well, if you're operating on that budget, if it's money you expected back plus interest, and then you waive it. Now, that's a true giveaway. So it's amazing how the American left is constantly harping on the notion of incentivizing things through the tax code that is not taxing you, not making activity punitive. That's a giveaway. That's a giveaway. That's big government giveaway. Special interests. That's exactly what they're doing here.
This is WNTP, Philadelphia's AM 990. The Answer, a Salem Media Group station on the NASDAQ at SALM. 3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.